Next, we'll be in a lot of passages tonight, and I don't want to drone on tonight with this message because it's a lengthy message. I had a pastor come with his church during our preaching conference one year, so several years ago, many years ago, and he brought his people. It was a very small church. I don't think that maybe they had 13 people, or maybe 18 people, I'm not sure. But he brought his people to our preaching conference twice throughout that week. And on that Sunday morning, one of those families that came during the week to our preaching conference came to our church on Sunday morning. Now, there's something that I was taught, I don't think they teach it anymore in Bible college, but it's called ministerial ethics. And I went to this family and I said, "Now, didn't I see you this week during our preaching?" They said, "Yes, we thought we'd come and visit y'all." And I told him, I said, "Well, now, you know, I'm friends with your pastor." And he brought a lot of the people there from the church. And I want you to know, you're going to break his heart being here today. I said, "A real pastor doesn't see the 20 or 30 or 40 or 150 or 200. He sees the three or four or five that aren't there." And I said, "Because he's my friend, before I drive out of the church parking lot, I'm going to call him and tell him y'all visited us this morning." Now, they were furious with me. That made them furious. And I want to tell you this. You can't build a church trying to steal other people's sheep. You know, you're just not going to do that. And there's some churches that they try to build their work off of that, and they become the gateway of them leaving church altogether or going to the progressive contemporary church, if you know what I mean. So, you know, that's what happens. And they were livid. I mean, they were so upset with me. And when I called the pastor, he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, I knew they were going to be there this morning. As a matter of fact, she called every member in the church and asked them to come with her this morning to your church and said, you know, she has been a real problem. She's a notorious gossip, and you help her, Pastor Savage, if you can. That's what he said, you know. Well, I went home, and I wrote a message about the busybody. And I don't think I've ever preached it before, but I preached on the busybody. And it was clear after I was done that they were done too, and they never came back after that. Now, I would welcome them. People can come and leave another church if they do it the right. But you don't call everybody in the church and try to get them to come with you. And I was preaching at Dr. Mike Allison's preaching conference in Alabama. And God spoke to my heart and said, "Preach that gossip message." Well, that's not a conference message. This, what I have tonight, is not a conference message. And I said, "I don't want to preach that. You know, I want to thunder out, and I want lightning to strike, and I want to, you know, go over wings of eagles, and I want to go up to Mount Moriah and down to the Valley of Baca." And he said, "No, I'll preach this." So I got up and preached it. And a lot of the people in the church, some teenagers even, when he asked which preacher, what message, that message on the busybody surfaced many, many times. And then I got an email from a missionary in Korea, Seoul, Korea, missionary David Lewis, who is out of Madison Baptist, and they send them all the conference messages. And he emailed me and said, "Pastor Savage, we're having revival here. Your message on the busybody has just, man, the whole church went forward, especially a number of women, and said it was just, God really used that." So I never knew when I penned this message in the Sunday afternoon that God was going to use it so well. Now, I've amended some things here to fit in. Some things you might remember. I don't think so. It's been a long time since I've given this, and I've changed a lot of it too. But we've been talking about life's problems, and gossip is a life's problem. We've spoken about loneliness. We've talked about comparison. We've spoken about criticism. Last week we spoke about pain. And I want to speak about gossip tonight. Now, let me say, we begin with the victory verses. And this is the victory verse for those gossiped about. How many have ever been gossiped about? Hold your hands. Let me see. You've been gossiped about. Let me see your hands. I want to look around. Hang on. I'm going to look really good. How many of you have ever gossiped about somebody? Well, we're even then, aren't we? Okay. Now, here is the victory verse for being gossiped about. So the next time you're hurt, when someone gossips about you, this is the medicine verse that you run to. Luke 6, verse 26 says, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Now, understand this passage, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." That was needlepoint at the foot of Charles Haddon Spurgeon's bed, because normally when he would get up in the morning, he would have Spurgeon across the front page, and there was some kind of criticism about him. And so when you are getting the riddled effect of gossip, understand they spoke bad about Jesus. He was abused. He was rejected of men. And woe unto you when all men shall speak well unto you. Now, for the gossip, if you're engaging in gossip, your victory verse is Matthew 12, verse 36. "But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." You believe the Bible? You believe that verse? I think that might help us to shut up, and we want to think about that. Now, in Proverbs 17, we have Solomon's wisdom, and he says in verse 27 and 28, "He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding." Many people just talk too much. There are some people who will say, "Pastor, please pray for me. I just talk too much." And we learn more by listening than what we do by talking. Solomon makes a great point here in Proverbs 10, verse 19. "In the multitude of words, there won't not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise." I mean, if you're just going to be a blabbermouth, sin's going to eventually take place. So Solomon is saying that it's a good thing to be known as a man of a few words. And this is particularly true, listen, with young children and with young people. Some mothers, I've seen it over and over, because their child, their 8-year-old's got the gift of gab, they think that they're highly intelligent and they're going to score high, on the ACT. Well, they just got the gift of gab, don't know how to be quiet. And it's very common among homeschool children who are not suppressed in a classroom, and they feel as if they're on the same level with adults. I would never, growing up, just interject my thoughts to my dad and his friend's conversation. You know, "Well, let me just tell you, man, what I think about this. I'm 8 years old. I would hate to tell you what might have happened if I had done that." Because children are made to, that's it. And when we would pull into someone's driveway, Paul and Faye Savage, and they were not Christian people, would turn around and look at us three kids. And they'll say, "You better go in there and sit on the couch and keep your mouth shut and don't talk unless somebody talks to you. We don't want to be those people when we pull in the driveway when they say, 'Oh, help us, Jesus, the savages are here.'" And you don't want to be those people either. Now, why do people gossip? I got 10 thoughts on this. I want to kind of run through it quickly if I can. Obviously, there's a lot of different reasons why people gossip. I believe people gossip for one or more of these reasons. Number one, some gossip because silence makes them uncomfortable. They are sitting in a situation, and I've seen people like this. Some folks, they just struggle with silence in general. And silence makes some people nervous, and so they feel like they have got to make up the gap here, and they try to fill in the void, and they bring in gossip to do that. Number two, some gossip because they are lacking in general knowledge. The gossip is often ignorant about the most interesting subjects. They don't have a clue, and they have very little contribution to something that deals with that has an intellectual situation. But they can resort to gossip. The gossip is so limited in their thinking and their knowledge, but it is effortless for them to spread rumors or to tell some juicy story, to carry the conversation and to carry the discussion. Number three, some people gossip because they desire to belong. You may be in an office situation, a family situation, a workplace situation, and you may feel the odd one out. Everybody's around the water cooler and they're talking about, they're talking about Uncle Joe. He's not here tonight, so I don't want to say that. And they're talking about Uncle Joe, and or they're talking about Pete down in the warehouse, what they saw him do. And you're sitting there or standing there, and everyone's joining in, but you feel that you're left out, so you join in, and now you're one happy family. And number four, some gossip because they are inferior people. Notorious gossips are people who are inferior. The gossips will tear down other people. If you fly a B-51, they fly a B-52 or a B-53. And this gives them this false confidence. Can I tell you this? Listen, if you talk about yourself, you are a boring person. If you want to know why you don't have friends, and if you want to know why you can't get a date, it's because you talk about yourself. And, the Bible says, let another man praise thee. And you just rattle on about yourself, and there's some type of confidence issue that's there, and you want to make yourself feel appreciated or superior. Usually people with a healthy self-esteem do not engage in running down other people. Would you agree with that? I think that's very true. Number five, some gossip because they are seeking revenge. Someone hurt them or disappointed them. So the gossip he or she have a way because of this disagreement and because they felt some form of humiliation, they're going to level the playing ground. They're going to settle the score through gossip. And the gossip feels that when someone has wronged them, they should start whether it's truthful or not, but it's hurtful, or some rumor to try to satisfy their sense of justice. Number six, some gossip because they sense a responsibility to set the record straight. They view themselves as in need of authority, and they want to share what they know to balance the scale about them. I had someone ask me not long ago about another person, and they asked me about their children, and it's nobody in our church. It was somebody from a long time ago, and I didn't tell them, and what I would have to say would be terrible, and it would grieve my spirit to say it, and I hate it, but they were way out of the situation. Let me tell you something about gossip. Listen, if you're not part of the problem, and you're not part of the solution, then it's gossip, and you need to stay away from it. If you're not part of the problem, and if you're not part of the solution, then it's gossip. If you say, well, man, people just come to me and just tell me everything. I'm this person. I'm the Gandhi. Who is it? Gandhi? Is it Gandhi? I want to say gun for some reason. I'm the Gandhi of Madison County. Now, let me tell you what you have. You have garbage can ears. That's what you've got. And they know that, so they come and they share it with you. Number seven, that's where we're at, right? Some gossips, they gossip because they desire attention. The gossip, and I've seen this so often, you have too, the gossip gets a thrill by knowing the secret somebody else doesn't know. Or be the first one to spill the beans on this. There's an excitement. Juicy, you're not gonna believe this. They're building this up, And so they have a secret that nobody else knows. The gossip feels that through their gossiping, they gain the center of the attention. Everybody's focusing on them now. And the gossip will often wait for the right moment to blab so that they get your maximum amount of attention and reaction to what they say. Number eight, some gossip. Aren't you blessed yet? Are you blessed yet? You being blessed? Amen. And hallelujah. Won't you go home tonight and say, boy, I tell you what, I feel encouraged. And number eight, some gossip because they desire control or power. You know, information is power, they feel. And the gossip is desiring to stack the deck, so they resort to spreading rumors in order to reduce the status of another person. Number nine, some gossip because of jealousy. Jealous over someone's looks, jealous over someone's popularity, jealous over someone's money. So they gossip with an intention to hurt them because they are jealous of them. Number 10, some gossip because of boredom. The gossip will often instigate a tell, you know, a debate or an argument, and will get a couple people keyed up and then back out of it and watch them. And that's, they've been bored, but now they're seeing these two just go at it. By spreading some juicy rumor, they make their life a little more exciting. Now, listen, gossip ruins friendships. Gossip eradicates trust, and gossip destroys lives. It's a terrible thing. It's a life's problem. 2 Thessalonians 3:11. Aren't you glad we got to the Bible? For we hear, I am, by the way, for we hear that there are some that walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. They're busybodies. You know, if they were working, they wouldn't have time to be a busybody. You remember the old, I mean, I grew up in we lived before the TV, but the old Bewitched thing, and there was the Gladys Kravitz, and she knew every neighborhood has one. We have one. You know, we have one. And, you know, I had some stranger trying to tell me where I was going to put my storage building at and everything. And we don't have a home society or any, you know, and she tells people she's the mayor of our community. And she goes up and down and tells people what to do, except for me and Joe Grapes and Jim Gray, for sure. 1 Timothy 5:13 says, and with all they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now, let's look at these words, the gossip. I said that gossip is when you are engaging in some conversation when you are not part of the problem or part of the solution. A gossip is a person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts. You know, some people say, oh, no, I'm not gossiping. This is the truth. Well, it don't matter if it's true or not, you know. But they feel like because it's true, it's not gossip. A tattler, the Bible speaks about the tattler here. It means a talkative person. They're just a talkative person just running their mouth. And then the busybody, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:13, is a busy, nosy, meddlesome, curious person, very curious. Now, I'm glad we're through the introduction. Let me give you five thoughts about gossip tonight, and we'll be done. First of all, gossip's cause great harm. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. No one deserves their problems and their failures to be talked about. Amen. No one does. As soon as you find someone and their child who has a failure or something, and it may be terrible, as soon as you do that, you're going to see that in your own family. And the gossip causes others to judge someone based on their reputation without even giving them a fair chance to explain. Just because you see something and it looks one way, it may not be that at all. I remember a pastor who was at the dentist, and he had a very serious, he was older in age, and he had serious issues with his teeth. And he went out to the parking lot after being worked on, and he thought he could drive himself home, but he was staggering about and couldn't get his key. This is how long ago it was, trying to get his key in. And someone saw that and said, "I saw the pastor in the parking lot. He was drunk. He was falling down, staggering drunk. And it wasn't anything. He was under heavy medication and he didn't drive himself home." But, the gossip, they're going to pass this judgment. Now, someone says, even a tombstone will say good things about a fellow when he's down. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And, gossiping about other people's shortcomings, gossiping about other people's sins always, always hurts the innocent. There are often victims who are re-victimized through gossip, and it hurts innocent people. And let me say, gossip causes great harm because only the ungodly spread the failures of others. Proverbs 16, verse 27, an ungodly man diggeth up evil. He digs it up. He's going to find it. And his lips there is as a burning fire. So gossips cause great harm. Secondly, gossips destroy relationships. Gossips ruin friendships. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Someone said that people who believe anything, or people will believe anything, if you whisper it. And it seems to be true. Now, I don't like to read stuff about people. And if I find out, if it's somebody that's in my circle and something bad said, I go to them and I ask them. And I go from there. I don't just join in, "Have you heard?" or "Did you know?" And for someone today to put stuff on the internet, it's a very cowardly thing to do that. You know, if you've got something to say, you ought to say it face to face. Say it face to face. But, for some reason, people feel that they're in seclusion in the back corner of their house on their keyboard, and everybody in the world in Sydney, Australia, and Seoul, Korea is reading this thing. Or if they open a club, join my club, join my thing, whatever they want to call it, and then they're going to attack you, but you can't even see it on the internet. You have to join that, and the other people join on there. Let me see. That's the essence of cowardliness. It's a terrible thing. And let me say this too. Most people have a brain to see something like that and know how cowardly and disgusting that is. And the person who does that looks worse than the person they're trying to tear down. You say, "What do you do about something like that, Pastor?" You let them come to the end of their own mischief. And I'll deal with that in a minute. But understand, gossips ruin friendships. Gossips sow strife. Proverbs 26, verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. But where there is no tare bearer, the strife ceaseth. It's the tale bearer that gets everything fired up and going. The gossip betrays confidences. If someone's sharing gossip with you, they will gossip on you. Proverbs 11, verse 13, the tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. The gossip cuts deeply. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Isn't that so? When you find out someone who you love, someone you have invested in, someone that you thought was your friend or maybe your family. Listen, just because they're in your family doesn't mean they're in your corner. And, you know, what a deep cut that is. It says the talebearers are as wounds, the words of a talebearer. It says, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly, like that. So a gossip cuts deeply. So we see gossips cause great harm. Gossips destroy relationships. But let me say, gossips persuade the naive and the immature. The people who are foolish people are the ones that they persuade. It's the simple that get mixed up with gossips. There was a preacher years ago, many years ago. We lived in Pinson, and I knocked on my door, and I came to the door, and I knew this. He was an assistant pastor. Now, let me tell you this story. I don't want to take, but you'll like this story. This is enlightening. I went to preach for this preacher for the first time ever, first time I ever met him. And I preached in his church. And it was a one day, one Sunday, morning and night. And I preached there. And then he wanted to have breakfast with me. And Debbie was in the hotel. She's getting stuff packed up for us. I went to have breakfast. And he asked me, he said, is there anything you can tell me, anything you can instruct me, anything you see that you can warn me about? And the Lord spoke to me. And I said, well, I want to tell you something because you asked, but I need your word that you're going to keep this between the two of us. And he said, what is it? And I said, you need to fire your assistant pastor. He's going to hurt you. That's what I told him. God told me that. We were leaving. Debbie said, honey, do you ever second guess? What if you missed that? Well, you know, when God speaks to you, you know it. And I said, you need to let him. He said, what do you see him? I said, you know, I'm just telling you, he's going to hurt you. And you should, in a graceful way, let him go. Well, you know what he did? He went straight into his office when he got back and told him everything. Told him everything. Now, I went back to preach there numerous times, and God moved in great ways. Great ways. And that assistant pastor was still there. And I was kind to him, and I could tell he was wanting my approval and accept, but I wouldn't give it. I didn't give it to him. And the pastor called me one day and said, Brother so-and-so, the assistant pastor, is going to be ordained. And we want you to come and preach the ordination and have the laying on of hands. Will you do that? I said, I will not. I will not do that. The Bible says be slow about the laying on of hands. I said, I'm not going to do that. And he said, well, would you come and just be here, not preaching, but just have your presence? I will not. I will not be there. And he said, why won't you be here? Because I'm not going to rain on his parade. Because while everybody is hip, hip, hooray, I'm going to be like, mm-mm. I'm not going to be there. Some of you look at me kind of funny. God tells me things about you too, let me tell you. And I didn't go. You know, several years went by, you know, 3 years, 4 years, maybe. Maybe not that long, Debbie says. She knows better than I do. And there's a knock on my door, and it's this assistant pastor. And he is there to tell me all the dirt on this other pastor who was a friend of mine. And I said, stop right there. You know, I'm not going to hear this. I didn't invite him in the house. Now, he lives way up north with all those devilish Yankees. He lives way up there. And he came just to tell me this. And I called the man who he spoke about, and he told me the situation. There was issues there, but it wasn't with him. It was with a staff member. And I dealt with it appropriately. Now, let me tell you, it wasn't but just a short time after that, after this man did this, that he was exposed for an extra relationship with his mother-in-law. with how wicked and how filthy it is. You know, when you hear people gossip and you hear people slander and you hear people tattletale and say things and post things, usually they got something so much deeper in them. That's always been my case to see it. They have something deeper. You know, if someone came to me and said that Dennis Allen was ABC, I'd go to Dennis Allen and I'd ask him. And that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do. Now, notice that, by the way, that church dissolved at that point. Complete. That church is not even in existence. And it dissolved when that came out, didn't it, Debbie? It dissolved that week when that came out. And you know what? I would have saved that pastor. I tried to save him a lot of headache if they had listened to me 4 years earlier and let him go. Give him a severance, say, brother, it's been good, but I just feel like you need to go down the road. But he didn't do it. You know, by the way, those are hard things to do, but leadership have to do hard things. Now, we're hanging in there. Gossips persuade the naive and the immature. See, they deal with the simple. Romans 16, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly and their own desires, is what it's saying. And in other words, they're calculating and they have an agenda. And by good works and fair speech deceive the hearts of who? The simple. Man, there are some people, you know, I tell people I grew up in Memphis and I can smell the manure wagon 3 blocks away. And there's some people, it can be right underneath their nose and they don't see it. And I don't know why it's that way. And it's good that you want to think the best about everybody. And I try to do that too. But it is, if it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, it's a duck. Somebody say amen. Hezekiah 3:3. Okay. Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Flattery, listen, get over yourself. And don't allow flattery to make you make decisions. Solomon's saying that a man who gives ear to flattery is in danger like a bird that's going before a fowler. It's a dangerous thing. In Proverbs 26, verse 28, the lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin, the Bible says. The gossip is very cunning, very calculating in getting others to join in with their information. In Proverbs 7, verse 21, speaks about a wicked woman here, but it says, with much fair speech, she caused him to yield. And it says, with the flattering of her lips, she forced him. And the gossip is very careful, very cunning, how they get you to join. You know, you can be there, and they could be hilariously funny. I mean, you're rolling, and you're just having just, you're laughing, and it's just so funny at somebody else's expense. And then you think, wait a minute now, this is gossip. Fourthly, let me say that gossips are in trouble. Proverbs 21, verse 23 says, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. That's true. 1 Peter 4, verse 15 says, but let none of you suffer as murderer or as thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Isn't it really something that God, he groups together murderers, thieves, evildoers, and busybodies? They're all in the same bunch here. God groups busybodies with the most despicable sins in people. Now, they are in trouble, first of all, with God. Proverbs 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy in the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And then they are in trouble. The gossip is not only in trouble with God, they're in trouble with the church. The Bible says in Matthew 18, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. And if he neglect to hear them, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, this man who had sinned in the church. In verse 6, Paul tells the church in verse 6, sufficient to such a man is the punishment which was inflicted of many. The many there is the church, because they've told the church what he's involved in. And the gossip, if you can't control your tongue, it can be a churching offense, that if you don't get right with it, and if you're causing mayhem in the church, that you could be brought before the church for this. 1 Timothy 5, verse 19 and 20 says, against an elder receive not an accusation. Don't receive an accusation against an elder. Who's your elder? I'm your elder. But before two or three witnesses, substantiate this thing. Them that sin, the elder that sins, rebuke before all, that others also may feel fear. So you are accountable for what you say. Well, I want to skip a little bit, and let me say Philippians 3:17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as we have us for an example. So the Bible says, mark those people. You know, keep distance from them. Don't be drugged into their folly. Lastly, number five, gossip. Gossips injure themselves as well as ones they gossip about. The gossip, they talk about people. Let me do something clear. I should have did this in the introduction. But there's always this big thing that the women are the gossip. I'll tell you, men are some of the biggest gossip you'll ever find. You can go down to some country barbershop and find out everything everybody's involved in down there. And they just talk about it like crazy. But a gossip will talk about people, whether they're guilty or whether they're innocent. Proverbs 25, verse 18, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul, or a sword, and a sharp arrow. Those in leadership, those in authority. It says in Proverbs 17, verse 7, excellent speech becometh not a fool, much less do lying lips a prince. The gossip harms themselves. Here's something. Proverbs 17, verse 20. Says, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good, and he that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. The gossip will fall into their own mischief. There was a person many years ago, and they had called me, and they had been a terrible gossip. And they called me, and they said, I was wondering if you know about my situation, and they went into it and said, and I was wondering if you have had an influence in why this situation did not work out for me. And I said, I hadn't even thought of you in years. I have not even thought of you in years. And I told him, I said, I haven't mentioned you to anybody. I said, but I will tell you something. You are a victim of your own mischief. What you have done for years, running around spreading lies and gossiping about people and telling truths about people's failures and heartaches, you're just reaping. And they said to me, you're right, Pastor, you're right. Now, I'm glad that they could embrace it. Understand that the gossip harms themselves. They become the victim of their own mischief. Proverbs 13, verse 17, a wicked messenger falleth into mischief. Proverbs 17, verse 20, he that hath a froward heart findeth no good. He that hath a perverse tongue falleth into mischief. The gossip becomes a victim of their own mischief. Listen, God will repay. Romans 12, verse 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We can trust God to take care of that thing. Psalm 37, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with their teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And God's going to see to it. He gets, you know, every dog has his day, you know, that kind of thing. The Lord's going to laugh at him in his calamity. That's why we better be careful. We don't want to have that relationship with our Lord. The church has a responsibility of discipline its people. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 19 and 20, verse 20 says, "Them that sin rebuke before all." And then, what is the gossip to do? As a gossip, what do we do? Are we just ruined? Well, our verse is 1 Timothy 4, 7. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." That's the answer. Get this garbage out of your life. Get all the drama out of your life. May I tell you, the older I get, the worse I hate to deal with drama. Yeah. And so exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, the gossip, the talebearer, the busybodies, they have to be avoided. Proverbs 4, verse 24, "Put away from thee the froward mouth and the perverse lips, put far from thee." So we need to walk a mile around these people who are those. I'm not talking about somebody who succumbs to gossip, and I'm talking about somebody that's what they live for. I was driving the church one day, it's many years ago, and I was driving the church. And as a new church member of all things, they'd only been in the church for a short while. And they called me and they said, "Pastor, tell me what's going on with this family. I've noticed this, this, and this, and I want you to tell me exactly what can you believe? Would you have the audacity to call me? If I could reach through my phone and poke her in the eye, I would have done so." And I said, "I don't talk about my church family to other church members." I said, "How would you feel if I started sharing things I know about you and your son to other people?" And she hung up on me, didn't she, David? She hung up. She was livid over it. She went to one of the family members that she wanted to know about, and that family member said, "If you continue to gossip, Pastor Savage will bring you before the church." And she wasn't just whistling Dixie. She knew that to be the case. So put away from thee the forward mouth. Now, let me give you four steps on how to deal with with a gossip. This is how you're dealing with somebody who's a gossip. Number one, give them your face. Give them your face. Proverbs 25, verse 23, "The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." Give them that pie looking thing. Give them the ugly eye. What'd you say? That'll stop it. You hear what the Bible says? It says, "So doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue." Don't say anything. Just look hard and look angry. And it's done. Give them your face. Number two, give them your mouth. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. "Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." Openly rebuke them for their gossip. You're gossiping. We're not going to do this. Understand that people do not come to you again because you're so kind and you're so wise and you're so wonderful and you're so understanding. They come to you because they think you've got garbage can ears. Give them your mouth. Give them your face. Number three, give them the hand. I like the deaf. I don't know where they're at tonight, but I like the deaf. They do like this. They go, "No." Then they turn their head, then they close their eyes because you can't talk to them anymore with their eyes closed. Psalm 144, verse 11. "Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children whose mouths speak vanity, and their right hand is the right hand of falsehood." Give them the hand. Just tell them, talk to the hand. We're not going to have this conversation. This is gossip. No one can make you listen. And then lastly, you give them the face, you give them the mouth, you give them the hand, give them the boot. Psalm 105, verse 5, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off." We're done. Separate yourself from gossipers, from whisperers, from talebearers, from backbiters, from slanderers, from busybodies, from blabbermouths. Break fellowship with these people. Gossip is a deal breaker. And God's people said, Now, it's not one of my most flaming messages, but I guarantee you everyone here knows more about gossip than what you did when you walked in. It's a terrible thing. God puts it in there with murder and drunkenness, and we ought to do the same. Be careful. Can I say this too? I think husbands and wives are intimate in one flesh, and they can talk about things that bother them, but I think even we have to be careful that we don't squelch the joy of the Lord, and we don't squelch happiness, and we don't squelch, you know, with a cynical, snarky attitude that, you know, and we pass that on to our children if you're not careful, you know, and it's negative, and you just feel it just suck the life out of you, and just determine to be a positive person, refuse to gossip. If you're not part of the problem, if you're not part of the situation, it's gossip, and stay away from it. And God's people said, it might be gossip, might be one of the biggest sins that's accepted in the church. You know. Did you see the hat she was wearing? Who does she think? Does she think she's Mrs. Esther's pet horse up there wearing that hat? I saw her at Walmart where she got that thing, you know. He got another gun. He must have took a second mortgage out on his house, but got another gun. Yeah. I saw something funny. I can't remember it right now, but no, it's not all right. I can't remember what it was, but no, it's not. You're not going to get away with it. And but I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, this is a serious thing, and God is serious about it. And we need to be careful, be more spiritual. Amen? Let's stand. We'll pray. Father, help us today. And help us to see this for what it is. It's a life's problem. And we all have been guilty. Everyone here has been guilty of gossiping, tale-bearing. Everyone here. And we have all been guilty of being lied about and put in a bad light. Sometimes on purpose, with being vindictive. Lord, help us to go above and beyond and the second mile in this area. And please, get your grace is there for us to do it. And it can't be this thing that, Lord, well, I'm not lying, I'm telling the truth, but we don't need to hear it anyway. Help us in these things. Now, heads bowed, eyes closed. Nobody wants to come to the altar on a message like this. But I tell you what, the altar ought to be full tonight. And we ought to be right about this area of gossip, of tale-bearing and busybody. We ought to be right about it. And ask God to help you. And we ought to be right at home about it too. Let God work in your heart tonight. And you come as the Lord leads you tonight.